The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
Brothers and sisters, the topic that we've been exploring over the last number of evenings has been to look at the Jahiliya, the era of ignorance before Islam, to see how it re-emerged at the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and how that culture and that type of thinking that's part of the era of ignorance was part of what kept people from supporting Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and in some ways led them to martyr Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And then finally, we've been looking and seeing how this applies to the modern era where we live in. So if you've been following this series by now, some of the questions that you would have had an opportunity to be reflecting upon are things like this, that when I know that music and words were part of an entertainment industry that was being promoted by the Umayyads to distract the people from their core purpose in life, then I need to be asking myself that when it comes to me and my family, what type of approach am I going to have towards this industry and entertainment and words and music? And how can I make sure that it's not something that takes me away from my purpose? When we've been talking about those who took a stance of not taking a stance and just live comfortably in their own portion of this world and being kind of immune and apathetic to what was going on around them. And when in critical situations, their silence spoke volumes for other people. They were people who influenced others to hold back and not show support to their imam. Then we need to be asking ourselves that maybe the understanding I have of what it means to be a decent person, I can examine that and see whether really being decent is being closed and not being aware of what's going on in the world around me. And for example, yesterday we had a chance to look at the myth of the autonomous, modest person. That when I look and see the people at that time led by Yazid and those who were following in suit, they were people who were pursuing their passions and their pleasures and their lusts. And this was something that held them back from being able to critically reflect on what was going on at the time. And so I need to ask myself that this culture of immodesty that's being shoved at me, how can I respond to that? How can I make sure that I don't get trapped in this sort of delusion where I think I'm being modest, but actually what I'm doing is I'm enslaving myself by not submitting to a higher source of authority which tells me what is modest and what is immodest. But for today, I want to look at a different dimension of this, and it has to do with the principle of balance when it comes to this dunya and living an earthly life. You all know that we as human beings have a bodily dimension, but we also have a spiritual dimension. And the purpose of our creation lies with that spiritual dimension. This is told to us in many different ways. One of the most eloquent and powerful is from Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. He tells his son in the will and testament, وَلَسْنَا لِلدُّنْيَا خُلِقْنَا. We were not created for this world. وَلَا بِالسَّعْيِ فِيهَا أُمِرْنَا. We were not commanded to kill ourselves for this world. I'm putting it in my phrasing here. But basically, we're not supposed to kill ourselves for the dunya. وَعَلَمْ يَا بُنَيَّ. Oh, no, oh my dear son, you should know that innaka innama khuliqta lil akhirah, you should know that you have been created for the hereafter, not for this world. Wala lid dunya walil fana'i wala lil baqa, meaning that you have been created not for sticking around here forever, but rather your time in this world is temporary. This is something that is known to us. I want to give an analogy here because it's going to be important for us when we look deeper at this concept of living a balanced life in this world, in the modern world. And the analogy is one of taking a circular peg, you know, a peg. Imagine there's a circular peg and you're trying to put it into a square hole. I think you've heard of this before. Circular pegs do not go into square holes. There's nothing wrong with the peg, there's nothing wrong with the hole, but the two don't meet each other. If you try to, you know, it's a kind of an analogy, right? You keep on doing it, it's just not going in. If you have a circular peg, you need a circle to put it in, not a square. When we're told that we've been created for something else, then the question arises, then how is it that we're here in this world? We're actually created in a way that we're strangers to this world. And one of the important struggles that we go through, one of the major struggles that we go through, is figuring out a way of living in this world even though we weren't created for it. And this is a struggle that has happened throughout history, and it's been the cause of downfall of so many people of the past when they haven't figured out how to live the right way in this world. If we go to the time of our beloved Imam Hussein alayhi salam and those incidents that were taking place around him, and we try to see, just like we've been doing over the last few nights, what were the causes that made people stay away from Imam Hussein, abandon him? Definitely one of those causes was people who had not found a balanced way to live in this world. One of the examples that we have, clear example, is that of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Sa'd was the father of the infamous Umar ibn Sa'd, la'anatullahi alayh, the killer of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. His father, Sa'd, was actually somebody who was one of the earliest Muslims. They say number 7 in all of history of Islam was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. He was a teenager at the time that he accepted Islam. And from the beginning, he was a warrior. He was a great supporter of Islam and our Prophet. He was present at all the battles. His presence was known, and he became somebody of great reputation among the Muslims. Even after towards the end of the life of the Prophet, we see that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was present at Ghadir, and he was one of those people who narrated the hadith of Ghadir. He was one of those who narrated this tradition. Man kuntu mawlahu fa'aliyun mawla. Whoever I am the master of, Ali is his master. The books of narrations mention him as one of the narrators of this tradition. After the death of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, when people, when people for the most part are either asleep or they're confused, some who are hungry for power have gathered in Saqifa, we see that there's a small group of the faithful, people like Miqdad and Salman, Abu Dharr, who have rushed to the home of Fatima alayhi salam. And amongst them is Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. That's how much of a supporter he is of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. But then we see that a change takes place in Sa'd's approach. Slowly, slowly, he begins to back away from his support of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and that's synonymous with him becoming more and more entangled in the dunya. He soon accepts the khilafah, the leadership of the khulafa, and he becomes supporters of them. And he starts to gain in his wealth to the point that they say that he was possessing multiple homes. Some of them were very large. And he also built a palace for himself. And the palace actually was named Qasru Sa'adin, meaning that it's the palace of Sa'ad. Imagine that you have a place that's so big that it has a name. People call it something. And they say that he built it out of marble, and it was fashioned after the Roman architecture and all those type of things. Sa'ad was somebody who was really living the life as well. He was, as he got more wealth, he said that, you know, I'm interested in exploring new ways of, you know, living life. And so they say that the pre-Islamic era, the type of clothing that the rich used to wear at that time, he started bringing it back into his wardrobe. He would wear silk. He would put on like a gold ring, and he wouldn't care what people said about it. That's just what he decided to do.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Alim Halim Hakim Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلى الله عليه.